Morning. Let us start in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this morning's Sunday school. We thank Thee for good weather. And we pray that Thou will preserve the weather as many are coming this morning for worship and Sunday school. We pray and thank Thee for good health and strength and peace, calmness, and Thy loving care. We pray for many who are sick and are on beds. Thou knowest them. We pray for thy good and quick recovery. And we also thank thee that thou hast healed many. Many have recovered from illnesses. We thank thee and praise thee that this morning we can come to learn of thy lesson of the 12 spies in the life of Moses, and that we will learn also about disbelief and rebellion against thee. And we pray that none of us will rebel against thee, or to be wayward, or to turn away from thee. And we pray for that our hearts will all be open to receive thy word, and to transform our lives. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. This morning we are on to lesson 21, the 12 spies in Numbers 13 and 14. So some background. Last week we talked about the Israelites moving out of Sinai, and they have moved on to a couple of places ending in Hazeroth. And at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Moses. And then God punished Miriam with leprosy. And then, from then on, the Israelites left Hazeroth and went on to Rithma. Also, next to Rithma is a place called Kadesh Barnea, and I'll show you the map. So in this map, you see right at the bottom, look at my cursor, number 11, the wilderness of Sinai, or rather Mount Sinai, also known as Horeb, number 11, on the brown route that the Israelites took. And then they moved up to Tabor. Remember, they were complaining of hardship and God sent fire to burn them. And then Kibroth Hattaavah, again complaining of no food, and then God gave them quails, and then they were stricken with a plague and many died at Kibroth Hattaavah. Then they moved on to Hazeroth, where Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Moses. And Miriam was stricken with leprosy. And so they move on from Hazeroth upwards, northwards. And and they come to this place called number 14, Rithma, which is just next to Kadesh Barnea. And this is the place where the spies will go up north. To spy Canaan. So just keep in mind, now they are at this place called Rithma, which is next to Kadesh Barnea. So there you go. They moved, and just before them, the pillar of cloud, being the presence of God, leading them all the way from out of Egypt, all the way. So they can see the presence of God before them every day and every night in the pillar of fire, providing warmth and light. So God is always with them. Yeah? And the Lord told Moses to select a leader from each of the 12 tribes to go and spy out the land ahead. Yeah. Although the Lord told Moses to get 12 spies, the idea came from the Israelites to send the 12 spies. Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 1, 19 to 23. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. And when we departed from Horeb, that Moses was saying, Israelites, and he departed Mount Sinai, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which he saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. So from Mount Sinai, they came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. So at Kadesh Barnea, Moses told the Israelites, you are now in the mountain of the Amorites. And this area is what the Lord gave unto us to possess. And behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. So at Kadesh Barnea, Moses told the Israelites, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. This land in the north is what the Lord is going to give you. Go up and possess it. And then, and ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again, by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. So the Israelites say, hang on, let us send spies up there to search out the land. And the saying pleased me. Moses did not object to it. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. So that was the background. Yeah? They are supposed to go up and possess it straight away. Once they reach Kadesh Barnea, God says, the land is there, go and possess it. They say, don't, no, hang on. Let us spy out the land first. So Moses agreed and chose a leader from each tribe. And there you have 12 leaders, one from each tribe, to go up north to spy out the land. Moses told them to find out whether the people in Canaan were strong or weak, few or many, were the cities fortified, was the soil fertile or poor. Moses also asked them to bring back some fruit from the land. So, of course, all these questions are relevant questions. Because in the end, they're going to go up, attack the people there, get rid of them, take over their land. And to do that, they need to know whether the Canaanites were strong or weak. How many is in the army? How strong is the army? How well fortified are their cities and villages? Are they very strongly protected that they cannot be attacked, impenetrable? And also, economically speaking, was the soil fertile or poor for agricultural purposes? So all these questions are important questions. And Moses instructed them to find out these answers and also bring back the fruit from the land. This is very important. They can see for themselves what sort of agricultural products they have, good or bad agricultural products, by looking at the fruit. So there you go. This is a map showing Kadesh Barnea in the south, and the spies went up north to Arad, Hebron, Bethel, next to the Dead Sea. Yeah? The 12 spies set out from Kadesh Barnea to the Negev. Negev Desert is a south desert around Kadesh Barnea. very arid, very dry, sandy, hardly any vegetation or trees or grass. It's just bare land, earth. Yeah. And they went through where the Amalekites lived. The Amalekites are just north, just next to Kadesh Barnea. Look at my cursor. Yeah, this is where the Amalekites are. So they went stealthily right through the Amalekites' country. They saw very tall and strong people who were descendants of Anak. There you go. Yeah, they were hiding behind the rocks and they saw this huge Canaanite bearing a spear and a sword, big in stature and tall. They are the ones that the Israelites will be fighting against. They moved north through the hill country where the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites lived, and then around the River Jordan and Lake Galilee where they saw Canaanites. So from Bethel, they went up Shechem, Beth Shan, and next to Lake Galilee. The towns and cities were large and well fortified. So you look at the city. There is a high wall. Yeah? Protecting the city. The cities are walled cities. You just can't go in. You have to go by the main gate. You look at the site here, there's a big main gate here, where my cursor is. And there's hardly any chance of penetrating to the high wall. And if you come near the high wall, the arrows will be shooting at you, or the hot water or hot cauldron will be pouring all its slurry of hot liquid to burn you. So very well fortified, protected cities. They went as far north as Rehob before turning back and retracing their steps. So from Lake Galilee, they went up to Hazor, to Rehob, the furthest northern city. And this is like the north and south of Israel today. From the very south, they went all the way up to the very north of Israel. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. So there you go. The grapes is the produce of the Canaanites. And that's what Moses required them to bring back. Yeah? Something to prove what sort of agricultural products they are capable of planting in Canaan. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. So you look at how they bring back the grapes. Yeah. It has to be on a pole to be carried by two persons. So it's not the kind of grapes you see in our supermarket today. Yeah? You put it in a basket and you can buy a few clusters of grapes in a market bag. For them, you look at the grapes. It's huge, succulent, looks meaty and juicy. And that is the proof of the agricultural product that they have in Canaan, rich and well-nourished products. So they came all the way back from the north, Rehob, all the way back. At the valley of Eshcol, they got the grapes on their shoulders and they came back to Kadesh Barnea. After 40 days, they returned to their camp. They reported, the land does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. They showed the huge grapes. But the people who live there are powerful and the cities are large and fortified. So they are basically telling Moses, don't go up. Yeah? We are not going to conquer the Canaanites. But one of the spies, Caleb, said, "We should go up and take the land, for we can certainly do it." So there were 12 of them. One of them, Caleb, said, "We should go up," despite the huge people and the well-protected cities. 10 of the spies disagreed. "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than us. All the people we saw are huge. Compared to them, we seem like grasshoppers." So there you go. They were showing the people how huge, how tall the Canaanites' warriors were. And they are like grasshoppers before them. That night, the Israelites grumbled and wept. They complained to Moses and Aaron, "Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to die in battle? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder." They started planning to choose another leader to go back to Egypt. So all the Israelites didn't want to go up to Canaan after hearing the report of the 10 spies that there were huge cities of fortified, well-protected. We are going to commit suicide by going up. So let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 1, 26 to 33. Again, some background here, which is important. So this is what Moses said. "Notwithstanding, ye should not go up, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord your God." "And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the land of the Amorites, to destroy us. You all murmured and grumbled in your tents, saying, the Lord hated us. The Lord has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into certain death in the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Where shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there." Where shall we go? You said, the people there are big and huge, much taller than us. Cities are well walled up, walled until heaven. That's what they said here. There's no way that you can climb up the wall. And moreover, you look at the Anakims, the Canaanites, huge, tall, mighty. Yeah? We'll be destroyed by them. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Moses said to them, don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Moses told them, even if they are big and mighty cities, well fortified and walled up to heaven, God will fight for you. Do not be afraid, just as God fought for you in Egypt. Yeah. And after that, when you have come out of Egypt, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. After God has saved you out of Egypt, God was like a father bearing his son all the way from Egypt until you come here, taking good care of you, like a father to his son. Yet in this thing, ye did not believe the Lord your God. Despite what God has done for you, you did not believe the Lord your God, that he will protect you, he will fight for you in Canaan. Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of everyone. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, stood up and said, "The land we explored is exceedingly good. The Lord will lead us into that land, flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Don't rebel against God or be afraid. The Lord is with us, not them." That is the most important statement in truth. If the Lord is with them, they fear no evil. If the Lord is with us, we fear no evil in whatever we do. Even though it may be Anakim, well-fortified cities, and Lord is with you, fear no evil. Just as those listening were muttering about stoning Joshua and Caleb, the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting. So you look at this picture, they're going to throw stones at Caleb and Joshua for wanting to go up north. They wanted to kill the two spies. And God came at the back. You look at the picture. The presence of God was on the tabernacle. And the event of the stoning was abruptly stopped. And the Lord told Moses, "How long will these people refuse to believe in me, in spite of all the miracles I have performed among them?" So God actually told Moses, "These people refuse to believe in me." That God is a mighty, almighty God of heaven and earth. And he can save, he can protect. Nothing is beyond him. He's in control of everything in heaven and on earth. And yet, these people, Israelites, who've seen all the miracles, they were the beneficiaries of all the miracles, refused to believe in Almighty God. "I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a stronger nation." So God actually wanted to kill all of them and preserve Moses and develop Moses and his offspring to a great nation. Moses interceded for the Israelites and God relented to destroy them. So God, after listening to Moses, because Moses will be telling God, "These are your people. You have promised to Abraham that the descendants of Abraham, all these people, are going to the promised land, and you will preserve them in the promised land. If you destroy them, you are going against your promise to Abraham. And what more? If you destroy the Israelites, the Egyptians will all laugh. God took his people out of Egypt only to destroy them in the wilderness." So Moses interceded to the glory of God. It's in a way spiritual. God, you are Almighty God, and you have a promise to keep. At the same time, the preservation of these people is to your glory. You destroy them, the people around the world will say, "What happened? God destroying his own people." So God relented. Of course, God, being all-knowing God, he knew at the end of the day he will be preserving his people. So all this conversation that he wants to destroy the Israelites, he knew it will not happen in the first place. And God told Moses he would punish their rebellion by keeping them in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for each day the spies had been in Canaan. So that was God's punishment to the Israelites for for their rebellion against him. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The 10 spies who brought a bad report died of a plague. Only Joshua and Caleb survived. The spies who trusted in God to keep his promises and give them the land. So all 10 of them died. Yeah? Because their motive was to spread the news that up there is going to be sure destruction for the Israelites. We better turn back and go back to Egypt. That was their purpose. And that was not God's purpose. God's purpose was, as he promised to Abraham, to bring his descendants and preserve them in Canaan. And the rebellious people then changed their minds and decided to attack the Amalekites just north of their camp. So after Moses has told them that they are wrong, they should go up north, and God causes a plague on the 10 of spies and they died, they suddenly became very scared. Yeah, that God is going to punish them. So they changed their mind and said, okay, let us attack the Amalekites up north. And they went and attacked the Amalekites without the approval of God again. Because God has already told Moses, I'm going to send these Israelites into the wilderness for 40 years as punishment. And instead of doing what God has said, they went and attacked Amalekites in the north. And Moses said, why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. But they went ahead. The Amalekites, helped by the Canaanites from the hill country, came down and attacked them and beat them into a swift retreat. So you look at them, the Amalekites, they're all with helmet, shield, battle axes, sword, and well attired for battle, whereas the Israelites have no battle gear. They were slaves formerly. They were never warriors or soldiers. So of course they were beaten away by the Amalekites. But again, you remember in an earlier episode where there was a battle between the Israelites and the Amalekites at Rephidim. God helped them to overcome the Amalekites, who were stronger and battle-geared. So in this case, they failed to overcome the Amalekites because God was not with them. In the earlier episode at Rephidim, God was with them and they overcome the Amalekites. So it makes a big difference whether God is with us. God is not with us in our task that we have to do. And this is a map showing Kadesh Barnea. Let me try to zoom in. At the end of the red line, you see Kadesh Barnea. It's a little blur, but that black dot represented Kadesh Barnea, where the Israelites were. And just above of Kadesh Barnea is the land of Amalek, where the Amalekites live. So in Kadesh Barnea, they just went up north to attack the Amalekites. Yeah? And they wanted to go up to Canaan, further up north. Of course, they were beaten back by the Amalekites because God was not with them. And for the next 40 years, the Israelites wandered around in the wilderness. All those who rebelled against God died. So, it was the purpose of God that those people who rebelled against him will not enter Canaan. So the 40 years, they were wandering round and round. I'll show you a map of their wandering. A new generation grew up willing to trust God and take the land God had promised to them under the leadership of Joshua, supported by Caleb. So there you see the map of all these rebelling Israelites, yeah, led into the wilderness for 40 years. And the 40 years wandering is indicated by the red root in the map. So, look at number 14, where my cursor is. Can you see my cursor? Number 14, Rithma, which is next to Kadesh Barnea. From Rithma, they wandered to Rimon Perez, number 15, to number 16, number 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Can you see the numbers? Yeah, you can see the numbers, right? And that shows you the route they took in their wandering for 40 years. All the way up north, 24, 25, 26, 27, and from 27 all the way down south, 28, 29, 30, 31, Ezion Geber, down south, and went up again north, until they came back to Kadesh Barnea, where they started. 40 years of wandering, and they came back to square one. By that time, that generation of Israelites who came out of Egypt and rebelled against God have perished in the wilderness. So that was God's purpose. The unbelievers, the rebels, they are not going into Canaan because of their disbelief. And then, okay, just to show you again, the route of the 12 spies, you see this dashed blue line all the way going up north? That is the line taken by the 12 spies. Yeah. All the way up. And up to Hazor, next to the Sea of Galilee, and it goes further up to Rehob. So it's a very long journey that the 12 spies took all the way up north. They did a thorough job. But it's just that they have a bad motive. They want to turn back to Egypt. So for further reading, you can read Deuteronomy 1, 19 to 46. It basically gives you more detail about what happened in Kadesh Barnea. Israelites rejected God's will of going northwards after they heard about that the huge Canaanites in the north and the fortified cities, and that they are sure to die if they go up north. And they rebel against God. Not only that, they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb, elect their own leader to lead them back to Egypt. Yeah? And so God was very angry. This is a turning point for God, really, that he wants to bring them. So he decided not to allow these rebelling and disbelieving Israelites to go up to Canaan. Okay, spiritual lessons. Yeah. Disobedience of the 10 spies and Israelites. Look at the left column. The Israelites grumbled and complained and wanted to go back to Egypt for fear of the Canaanites. Yeah. And God's punishment was the Israelites who came out of Egypt wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and died there. Yeah. So it was God's will for the Israelites to return to Canaan, but they were fearful. Where do we read that it was God's will? We can read. I've just read that, and I'd like to repeat it to you again. Deuteronomy 1:19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. So it's very clear here that they were told, go up and possess it. That's the will of God. The Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Very clear will of God for the Israelites to go up and take hold of it. Yeah? And further on in the reading, you remember when the 12 spies said, giants, big, huge people out there, fortified city. And Moses said, don't worry. God is going to fight for us, just as he fought for you in Egypt. He looked after you like a father to his son. He will fight for us. That was God's will too. And of course, you know the story of Jericho, how it was really God's battle, you know. They blew the trumpet, and of course, there are other procedures involved. The wall started crumbling down. God's will. They didn't have to climb the wall. It just came down, yeah, according to God's will. But the Israelites were fearful, did not believe that God would protect them against the Canaanites. Let me read to you. Psalm 106. Verse 24. Yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. The Israelites despise the pleasant land because the pleasant land is Canaan. Because they are fearful of the big Canaanites there. They believe not his word. They refuse to believe in God, that God will help them overcome the Canaanites. And but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. They did not believe in God, that God will help them overcome the Canaanites, despite all they have seen in Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. And etc., etc. Supernatural visions before them, supernatural miracles happening before their eyes to save them, to preserve them. And here at Kadesh Barnea, they are fearful of being destroyed by the Canaanites. And they wanted to turn away. Yeah? They don't believe in God. They don't believe that God will protect them. What have God been doing from Egypt all the way here, all the way to Kadesh Barnea? Wasn't God protecting them all the way? They saw it with their own eyes. They experienced the protection of God themselves. And now, they say God will not protect them against the Canaanites. They want to go back to Egypt. The Israelites have witnessed God's mighty power. Not just witnessed, they experienced it for themselves, because they were the beneficiaries of God's mighty power. 10 plagues in Egypt, resulting in the death of the firstborn Egypt. Every firstborn Egyptian was destroyed by God. to compel Pharaoh to release the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt. And when they were released, come the crossing of the Red Sea. God divided the sea and allowed the Israelites to go through dry land across Red Sea. And when the Egyptian army followed into the dry land, God drowned them with the water of the Red Sea. And then at Mount Sinai, God gave them the Ten Commandments in Mount Sinai with his very voice. They heard God's voice of the Ten Commandments, requiring them to obey the Ten Commandments. And then they saw God's punishment for worshipping the golden calf. They themselves were punished. They saw with their own eyes. They saw God's presence with them in the Ark of the Covenant, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, etc., etc. And they don't believe in God's word now in Kadesh Barnea. Pausing here, what do you think the Israelites are thinking about? If you were there, would you believe in this God of Moses? If you were there, you were one of the Israelites, seeing the Red Sea being divided, a supernatural feat, and you walk across dry land across the Red Sea, and when the Egyptian forces went across dry land, the sea came back and drowned them. Would you have believed in God? Yes. But they didn't. And the miracles didn't just stop there. It went on and on and on. The pillar of cloud was before them, leading them all the way. At night, there was the pillar of fire, giving them warmth and light, protecting them from the Amalekites who attacked them in Rephidim, giving them water to drink, providing manna, food, quail, birds, meat for them to eat at night. Miracles on a regular basis, and they don't believe. And so God destroyed that generation of Israelite unbelievers. So is God justified? Yes. The basis of salvation is the same. They didn't believe in God. Despite the chosen race, God chose them as a chosen people, the Hebrew people, whom he will look after, and they didn't believe. So they were punished. So were they saved? What do you think? Were these people who perished in the wilderness, the whole generation of the Israelites, were they saved? The Bible doesn't say whether they were saved or unsaved. They were saved or not. But in my view, they were not saved. Because they did not believe. They did not believe the God who saved them from the Egyptians. So it's the same for us today. Do we believe in God? The God who will do mighty things for us, who will protect us, who is in absolute control of all the events in our life, good or bad. Yeah? From our perspective, it's bad. From God's perspective, he's got a lifetime perspective ahead of us. He knows what is good. Do we believe in our God and trust that he will help us through all our life journey? Sometimes we know it is God's will for us to undertake a task, yet we are still fearful and of little faith. We should overcome this fear if we know it is God's will. So the issue here is, when we have a task in our everyday life, is it God's will for us to undertake that task? Just as the Jewish people knew that it was God's will for them to go to to go back to Canaan. It's clear to them. And they turned back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. For us, if we know it's God's will, then we should overcome our fear and do it. If not, we are not unsimilar to the Jewish people who turn away fearing what may come over us. Different ways to overcome fear and anxieties. Remembering verses of God's assurance. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So it's important to remember the verses. That God is with us. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And as a great shepherd, he will take care of his sheep. He will look after us when we are sick and help us to overcome our trouble. Prayer. Important to pray to God, seeking his guidance of specific issues in our lives that cause worry and anxiety. Remembering past deliverances, how God has helped us to overcome past issues, troubles. Yes? All these will help us to overcome our fear and anxieties. How do we know God's will? Reading the Bible, obey all of God's commandments, do the right thing, turn away from evil. Of course, the Bible doesn't tell us, shall we leave company A and join company B? The Bible doesn't tell us, yes, leave company A and join company B. But the Bible tells us general principles of the right, doing the right thing. General principles of doing the right thing. What is the purpose of leaving company A to join company B? Is it out of covetousness that you are promised so much more? Are you job-hopping from one place to another just because they offer you more? The Bible is against covetousness. So all these general principles, they come in to help us make a decision. Prayer, seek God's will in a specific matter. This issue is before me. Do I do this or do I do that? Seek God's will in prayer. The Holy Spirit, listen to our conscience guided by the Spirit. Consult pastor, mature Christians, if necessary. What is your view from a spiritual point of view? Events and circumstances, guided by push and pull factors. All these will help us to decide the right thing to do, the task before us. Naturally, it doesn't mean that your answer must come from the Bible. Yeah? When you pray, God will speak to you audibly. No, it doesn't work that way. You go through all these and the Spirit will guide you. Even events and circumstances in your life, the Spirit will guide you. So, this is the way that we will know God's will. So I'll stop here and carry on with the rest of the lesson next week. Let us end in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy loving kindness and goodness to us, protecting us and guiding us, loving us, caring for us. We pray, Lord, that Thou will help us to understand this lesson. Yes, it's not easy to trust in You, to have faith in You. We are often afraid of the Anakims and the Canaanites in our life. They are huge. They are big. And we are small like grasshoppers. And we are often afraid of all these conflicts and troubles in our life. Our health is giving way. But thou have said that thou will take care of us. Thou art our good shepherd, and we are thy sheep. So we pray, Lord, that we will always hear thy voice and follow after thee. We pray, Lord, that thou will help us to overcome life issues in accordance with thy word and in accordance with thy will. So we pray for today, for thy guidance and thy loving care, and we render all praise and worship to thee, asking all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming.